I invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 27. Jeremiah 27, and we will read verses 1 through 11. Hear the word of God. In the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Thus the Lord said to me, make yourselves straps and yoke bars and put them on your neck and send word to the king of Edom, the king of Moab, the king of the sons of Ammon, and the king of Tyre, and the king of Sidon. By the hand of the envoys who have come to Jerusalem to Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and give them this charge for their masters. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, this is what you shall say to your masters. It is I who by my great power and my outstretched arm have made the earth, with the men and the animals that are on the earth, and I give it to whomever it seems right to me. Now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And I have given him also the beasts of the field to serve him. And all the nations that shall serve him and his son and his grandson until the time of his own land comes. Then many nations and great kings shall make him their slave. But if any nation or kingdom will not serve this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and put his neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, I will punish the nation with the sword, with famine, and with pestilence, declares the Lord, until I have consumed it by his hand. So do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your fortune tellers, or your sorcerers, who are saying to you, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you with the result that you will be removed far from your land. And I will drive you out, and you will perish. But any nation that will bring its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will leave on its own land to work it and dwell there, declares the Lord. So ends the reading of God's holy word. Please join me in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do implore that you who created the world, who have made us, and have revealed yourself to us supremely in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have revealed yourself to us in your word, recording for us your dealings with your people throughout the ages. May we be strengthened and helped this night that we might hear your voice, that we might submit to your rule. And grant this, O Lord, we pray, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Probably you've, at one time or another, been in a situation in your life where you turned to someone and said, I just wish that the Lord would tell me from heaven what I should do. The passage that is before us tonight is one in which the Lord, through the prophet Jeremiah, comes to King Zedekiah and tells him what to do in a situation where he faced a difficult decision. The year is 594 BC, and the nation of Babylon and its king, Nebuchadnezzar, was involved and embroiled in many home disputes and difficulties, which caused him to be distracted. And the nations of the West were thinking of a way in which that they could break free of the rule of Babylon, Edom, Moab, Ammon, Tyre, and Sidon, all sent envoys to Jerusalem to meet with Zedekiah and to discuss the possibility of breaking free and throwing off the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. And this is the time after Nebuchadnezzar had come to Jerusalem once and already taken captives, many away into captivity. Jehoiakim, King Jehoiakim himself, had surrendered to Nebuchadnezzar at that time. So his own life and the life of many of the nobles and the wealthy in Jerusalem were spared, and they were taken into captivity. And so we find that Zedekiah is now king, and Zedekiah is the final king of the kingdom of Judah. Well, while this meeting is going on between Zedekiah and the envoys from the surrounding nations of Judah, into the room walks a prophet, Jeremiah. And he has two things. He has a wooden yoke upon his neck. Attached to it were leather straps. And he also has a message from the Lord for the rulers represented by the envoys who are there present with Zedekiah. And so this message is for the nations that are surrounding Judea, and also for Zedekiah, as he is the king of Judah. And he also hears this. And you can imagine that as this message is brought from the Lord of hosts to these envoys and to Zedekiah, what consternation that must have caused. Jeremiah once again disrupting the plans of these men who were involved, as they thought, in the world of real politic. And Jeremiah comes with a message from the Lord of hosts, the creator of the heavens and the earth, telling them to do something that was very, very contrary to what they were in the process of planning. And so Jeremiah, no doubt, was faced with a great deal of not only unpopularity, but anger on the part of those who heard him. So this message that was to be given is found for us in verses 4 through 7. And in these verses, as we have read, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, says, It is I who by my great power and my outstretched hand have made the earth with the men and the animals that are on the earth, and I give it to whomever it seems right to me. And he says that he has given these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and he calls Nebuchadnezzar his servant, my servant, and I have given him the beasts as well. And all the nations shall serve him. And this is the message that is given. And so tonight, as we look at this passage and this message that Jeremiah gives, I want us to see four things. First of all, we see that the message tells us that the God of Israel is the God who created all things. The God of Israel is the God who created all things. Secondly, Jeremiah tells them that the ownership of the earth implies the right to do with it as he pleases. Ownership implies the right to do with that which he has created what he pleases. Ownership has its privileges. But the third thing that we'll see tonight is that there is a great blessing to be found in submitting to the Lord. There is a great blessing to be found in submitting to the Lord. And then fourth, I want us to see that as it was true that Nebuchadnezzar was the servant of the Lord to accomplish his will in the earth in his day, there is one final king to whose rule we are all called upon to submit. And that is the fourth thing that we will see tonight. There is one final king to whose rule we must all submit. So the message tonight can probably be very easily summed up, is that there is a great blessing in submitting to the Lord. There is a great blessing when we submit to the Lord. And so let us go through these one by one. First of all, the God of Israel is the God, is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And we notice that in the text it says that Jeremiah is to give this charge, verse 4, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. These men are pagans. They come from pagan countries and they worship pagan gods. God identifies himself as the one who is speaking as the God of Israel. And that means that he identifies himself with those with whom he has entered into a special covenant relationship. And that covenant was first revealed to Abraham, and then to Isaac, and then to Jacob. And the Lord did not forget his people when they were enslaved in the land of Egypt. The nations surrounding were well aware of what God did when he raised his powerful arm and led his people out of Egypt, the Exodus. Then there's the conquest of Canaan after the wandering in the wilderness. The Lord led his people through a process by which they were, under the guidance of God, enabled to conquer Canaan and to rout the nations who lived there. So the nations that are visiting Zedekiah and holding this meeting to see if they can throw off the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar know something of the history of the nation of Israel. And God specifically says that he, as the God of Israel, is the God who made the world. It is I, he says, who made the earth. What an announcement. What an announcement. I made the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The God who was speaking by the prophet Jeremiah to these men announces that the Creator is speaking to them. It is God, therefore, who makes every life. It is God who has established the nations and sent the tribes of the world to the various corners of the earth. It is God who made the world. And in our own day, that message needs to be heard, that the universe is not an enclosed system, but there is an eternal, everlasting, all-powerful, all-wise, and all-knowing God who spun the universe into existence by the word of his power. It is a message that has direct implications. And what a shock it is to people of our own age who consider themselves very well to understand the processes by which the world came into being. What a shock it is for modern men and women who have been taught to believe that the universe is self-originating and that the earth as we know it came into being over billions of years in a process of extreme volcanic outgassing, and that the development of life began first with fishes in the water, and then life over billions of years developed on land, and with the extinction of the dinosaurs and finally the rise of mammals, humans emerged out of the evolutionary process. We are told quite definitively in all of our sources 2 million years ago to modern men and women. The Lord has a word. It is I, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, who made the world. And that is a profound and important truth. Think of what knowing it means. It means that I do not have the burden of living my life knowing that my life has no known purpose, and that my own identity must be understood and decided upon by me, because there is no purpose in the world, and that whatever I choose is what is right for me. What a burden that is. What a burden to find, or to try to find, the meaning of my own life. And what a release it is to know that the infinite, eternal, all-personal, all-powerful God made the world that I see about me and made me to live in it and made me particularly to know him. What a wonderful thing. What great news. The infinite, eternal God is not hidden. He has made himself known. If only man would listen. But the second thing we see in this passage is that ownership implies the right. Creation implies ownership, and ownership implies the right to do with that which he has made what he pleases. And that is what is so wonderfully stated here in verse 5. I give it to whomever it seems right to me. I give it to whomever it seems right to me. Not only is there an all-powerful creator God, but there is a God who gives that which he has made to men as it seems right to him. And in particular, he has given, he announces to these envoys and to Zedekiah, he has given into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, in verses 6 and 7, we read, the king of Babylon, my servant, I have given him also the beasts of the field to serve him, and all the nations shall serve him and his son and his grandson until the time of his own land comes. So God announces here, in this particular historical circumstance, that he has given rule to Nebuchadnezzar, and all the nations are commanded by God to submit to the rule of Nebuchadnezzar. He owns the earth. They come from him, and he gives it to whom he pleases. God gave the land of Canaan to Israel as his covenant people. Now he is driving them out, and he's doing so by the hand of this pagan king. And he is giving Nebuchadnezzar the rule over Canaan. It is by his arrangement. It is his doing. And he has the right to do so. He is the sovereign ruler of the earth. If I come into your house, as you invite me and Eileen over at some point, and I look around the room, and I start rearranging your furniture, I think you would stop me, and you would tell me that that's not the arrangement that you want. Well, that might be the first thing you tell me, and then you might tell me, well, you know, it's our house. What a profound thing. This is my Father's world. It belongs to him. And he has sovereignty over it, to do in it and with it what he pleases. Owning what he has made, the Lord gives it to those he pleases. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all those who dwell in it. So in all of the history's turns and twists, in the rising and the falling of kingdoms and nations, we need to know this, that it is God who is acting in and through men to accomplish his purpose in history. That history is, in a sense, the outworking of the counsel of God, the rule of God over the nations. It is the unfolding of God's plan or his counsel. In Psalm 33, we read, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations." And then in the New Testament, this beautiful passage that we recently studied from the book of Ephesians, "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of whom?" Who has predestined us? And who has this purpose? The purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. And did you catch that phrase? All things? All things. Nothing outside. All things occur according to the counsel of the will of God. God is the Lord of history. Not only did he make it, not only does he dispose it and give it, he is the Lord of history, and it is the outworking of his plan. As the Westminster Confession so beautifully puts it, God from all eternity did by the most wise and holy counsel of his own will freely and unchangeably ordain whatsoever comes to pass. According to the counsel of his own will, he freely ordained, freely and unchangeably ordained whatsoever comes to pass. It is the unchangeable will of God that comes to pass in history. History is not guided by an impersonal force, which we refer to as historical determinism. History is not guided by an impersonal force that is leading man on ever and on further into a final form of government by which he will be able to attain to his economic and social dreams. That is not what history is. History is the outworking of God's plan for the world. And we find its beginning in Genesis 1, and we find its culmination in the book of Revelation. It is not, our world is not under the control of impersonal forces. And so when we listen to various media try to influence us to think that there are forces at work that just are going to happen, and you want to be on the right side of history, remember that it is the Lord who controls the outworking of history, and it is the Lord who is in control of all of the forces of nature. Notice that he says that he gives to Nebuchadnezzar even the beasts of the field. The Lord controls all of the forces of the world, and they do his bidding according to his will. And he is the sovereign, omnipotent creator God. And the world will unfold according to his purpose to the end that he has ordained. Well, these people have been told something they did not want to hear, that God has given the earth to Nebuchadnezzar. That was treasonous. It was like treason. What are you doing, Jeremiah? What are you saying? What are you telling it that is our duty, that we ought to do, that we ought to just go with this and submit to a foreign ruler like Nebuchadnezzar, and that we should just lay down and let him have it? Well, the third thing that we notice in this passage is that there is great blessing for those who submit to the Lord's will. So what is the response that these men should have to this announcement? And what is our response as well? Well, the first thing that we can say about the response that we need to give is that we need not to listen to some people. We need not to listen to some people. Notice that the prophet Jeremiah says that they are to not listen to those who are telling them otherwise than he is telling them. And he says, verse 9, "So do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your fortune tellers, and your sorcerers, who are saying to you, 'You shall not serve the king of Babylon.'" And this is very much unfolded for us in chapter 28, where we read of Hananiah, the false prophet, who, if you just go to chapter 28, you'll notice that he gives a message to the priests and to all the people in verse 1 and 2. Verse 2 of chapter 28, he says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house, which Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon." And further on in verses 10 and 11, Hananiah, the false prophet, says he took the yoke bars from the neck of Jeremiah, the prophet, and he broke them. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, "Thus says the Lord, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations within the 2 years." And Jeremiah went on his way. So there was no shortage of those who were saying things that were very different from what Jeremiah is saying. Jeremiah is saying that Nebuchadnezzar is going to rule the nations, and that he will rule them for a period of time, and that he is going to be given the nations until his son and his grandson pass, and then other nations will rise up and destroy him. But here we have the idea that Nebuchadnezzar is going to be ruler for a while, whereas Hananiah and other false prophets are saying, "Oh no, don't submit to Nebuchadnezzar. This is something that will be soon resolved, and Nebuchadnezzar will no longer have authority over you." And so what is the message? You must be able to discern between the truth and falsehood, between truth and falsehood, and not listen to those who speak lies. And that's what Jeremiah says. Do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, and your dreamers. And so for God's people throughout the history of the world, there's that need for us to be discerning and to know what it is that God says, and not listen to those who contradict that which God says. But the second part of the response that is needed is not only the discernment to not listen to those who speak differently, but here is the real heart of the matter. Bring your neck under the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. take this yoke and wear it. In fact, many commentators believe that Jeremiah had multiple yokes that he carried into the room and that he distributed them to the envoys who were sitting there. And he gives them each a yoke to take back to the ruler that they represent and to the country that they represent. So wear the yoke. Take this yoke and wear it. Submit to the rule of God. You see, in submitting to the rule of Nebuchadnezzar, they were in truth submitting to the God who made the heavens and the earth. So the practical consequences of that are a giving over of my own plans and my own thinking and submitting to the revelation of God as he reveals himself and his will to me. Matthew Henry makes the point that not only is it true that God gives the earth to rulers, but this can be applied as well to all of mankind. Whatever anyone has of the good things of this world, it is God who sees fit to give it. It is God who gives it. And so in submitting to the Lord, we submit to him in the sense that whatever God has allotted to us, we receive it from his hand. And that is a practical application of this. Are you doing well? Has the Lord blessed you and your family, in your schoolwork, in your sports, in whatever it is that you are doing in your relationships with co-workers? Is God blessing you? If so, remember that it is God who has blessed you. It is not a result of something that is self-derived. It is a gift of God. On the other hand, are you struggling? Do you see God blessing other people in spades while you live under difficult circumstances? Do you wonder, will it always be this way? And what part of the message that Jeremiah says to these men is that God not only controls who is ruling, but he controls the time that they rule. And certainly it is the case that there are times, and it will not always be this way, because the Lord will bring about a change. So the temptation is for us to envy those who receive more and who enjoy more. But if we remember that it is the Lord who determines the lot of each of us, he will help us. And Matthew Henry says about this, "We ourselves should therefore be content, though we have ever so little, and not envy any their share, though they have ever so much." Submission means the enjoyment of contentment with that which God has blessed us with. And then there is a final, there is that word of threat. If you do not, the Lord says, then I will punish that nation with the sword and with famine and pestilence, declares the Lord, until I have consumed it by his hand. That is the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, who is the servant of the Lord, who will bring about that punishment. Nebuchadnezzar didn't think of himself as the servant of the Lord. He was a prideful ruler. And yet, the Lord used him as his servant to accomplish his purpose. If I had the time, I would take us to Daniel chapter 4, verses 28 and following, where you remember the story that Nebuchadnezzar was boasting to himself of his great glory and pomp. And God swiftly, before the words were even out of his mouth, drove him to insanity. And at the end of the time when God released him from that, he acknowledged that it was the Lord who rules in the heavens, and he gives it. He gives the earth to whomever he pleases, and it is the Lord who is the sovereign king. And so It is the Lord who establishes nations. It is the Lord who establishes rulers, and they are his servants. And we read that in Romans 13, don't we? Where Paul says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God, and therefore whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. So the submission to the governing authorities is part of the Christian calling and part of the Christian lifestyle. But it is not only, that's probably not the final word in our own nation. We live in a constitutional republic, and we have many opportunities to be influenced in our country without revolt. It's one of the great blessings that we have, that we don't have to revolt to try to have change, but we can work through the avenues that are given to us in our constitution, in our form of government. But nevertheless, the final attitude is that we as believers know that the Lord has established those who are in power, and he gives the earth to whom he wishes. But then finally, I'd like to call your attention to the Lord's final king to whom we must submit. The prophet Jeremiah was preparing, actually, though he may not have been aware of it, he was preparing for God's people for a future time when the Lord's kingdom would no longer be tied to an earthly theocracy, but would be spread throughout the whole world in all countries, and God's people would learn to live quiet lives serving the Lord. That was part of the lesson of the exile, that the people of God had to learn to live in foreign empires apart from Jerusalem, apart from the temple. And they needed to learn to worship God and submit to the rulers in where they lived, and to lead peaceable and quiet lives serving the Lord. And so what does Paul tell Timothy that we are to do? He says, I urge that supplications and prayers and intercessions and thanksgivings be made for all people, for all kings, and for all in high positions. Why? That we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, and that we might live godly and dignified in every way. And this is good and pleasing in the sight of God. The Lord was preparing his people for a time when they would be called from every nation to a king, the Son of God incarnate, our prophet, our priest, and our king, who would take our nature upon himself and by his death reconcile us to God, and then be exalted to the Father's right hand and be given a name of far above any other name, far above any name that Nebuchadnezzar ever had. And he is called. What is he called in the first chapter of the book of Revelation? The firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. I made the earth, the Lord says, and I give it to whom I please. The Lord Jesus Christ has been given a rule and authority by God. He seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and every name. He put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. He is head over all things. He's the ruler of the kings of the earth. Why? For the church. And what should our response be? Our response can be none other than to take the yoke, to gladly and willingly bow before the announcement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. though the kings of the earth take counsel. We are living in days in which they are doing just that. We have an announcement. I am the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the Lord says. I made the earth, and I give it to whom I please. And I have given it to my anointed one, my son. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. And all of the nations have been given to him as a heritage. Not the thrones of earthly nations, not the glittery palaces of earthly nations, but all of the nations, all those of the elect from all of the nations, the church has been given to him. All those whom the Father, before the world was made, had given him, and they are called out of all of the nations of the world, and they are the ones who are his delight. They are the ones who are his loved heritage. Praise God for that. And he gave his disciples a commission to make disciples out of all of the nations, and that is our commission as well. And what do we tell the men of the world? Not only that God made the world and he gives it to whom he pleases, but that God has given it to his Son. That the Lord Jesus, that the Lord God Almighty has sent his Son and he has dealt with our sin on the cross. And he has died for our sins and he has been raised from the dead. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. He has established him as the King who will one day come again as judge. Therefore, O kings, and therefore, O peoples, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. But blessed are all those who take refuge in him. There is blessing in submitting to God. We can't do it of ourselves. We are a proud people. We have hearts that are rebellious. But when God gives the word, and when God speaks to you, and he announces to you his Son, take refuge in him, and you will find rest for your souls. So ends the message of Jeremiah 27, 1 through 11. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we ask that you would give us hearts that are pliable, that you would renew us and make us to be those who are able to hear and to respond, that you who made the world and give it to whomever you please, you have given it to your Son. And may we be enabled by your grace to take refuge in him. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.